This is the Acting Up Podcast with your host, Allie Goodman. Hey, friends. Welcome to the Acting Up with Allie Goodman podcast, a backstage pass to the life of a working actor and mom raising a kid with special needs. I would like to talk about reading the room. So this is something that John and I often will say jokingly to each other or to about Jackson or to Jackson, you know, or people in general. I don't think this is purely a neurodiverse versus neurotypical thing. I think this is something that everybody deals with and people do or don't do. And it's something that I think spans across the board. I also think that it's something that a lot of kids and a lot of people, I shouldn't just say kids. I mean, I deal with the kids, so this is why this is often what will fall out of my mouth. But a lot of people with who are on the spectrum will run into this as an issue. So let's talk a little bit about it and how that also works with what I say as far as an actor. So read the room. John and I will say to each other, if he sometimes will come barreling in with information, and John is a trivia buff. He loves, or he's just an information communicator. So he'll read something on Twitter or he'll find something and he desperately wants to tell me about it. So he'll just bust into the room. Like maybe I'm in the middle of something or doing something, but because he's so compulsively has to tell me or share it with me, which is like adorable and sweet most of the time. Sometimes he interrupts something. Sometimes I'm on the phone. Sometimes I'm typing something. Sometimes I'm doing a podcast. That actually happened in the last podcast. He like walked in the door. He's like, oh, whoops. Yeah, it was adorable. But sometimes it really upsets me. And sometimes I'm, you know, able to just sort of breathe through it and deal with it. But I'll say to him, read the room. Sometimes he'll start talking to me without looking. And I'll be honest, I've done this 100 times to him too. So this is not like a John to Allie only thing. It just tends to happen a lot more on his end than it does on mine, I find. But he'll start talking to me and telling me something and I'm knee deep in some intense post or something that I'm working on or something that I'm reading or something that I'm in the middle of, and he just doesn't see it and doesn't understand why I'm not responding, you know, appropriately. And it's because he hasn't read the room. He hasn't seen what's going on. This also will come up when it's like somebody will come in with a lot of energy into a room that's, say, really somber for whatever reason, and they're just like, hey guys, what's up? And everybody's really sad because maybe they got some really bad news or something really intense has happened. This is sort of a really morbid situation where this happened to me, where I came to school on the day that 9/11 happened. And this was well before I even had any clue what was happening. But there was a class before mine and they wouldn't let us into the building, and we couldn't figure out what was going on. When would they let us in? And somebody came out and said a plane hit one of the towers in New York. And I'm thinking, like, a little Cessna lost control and hit the building. And I'm thinking, well, there's no match for a Cessna and a big building, so that sucks for the people in the plane. But I had no idea the magnitude of it. And out came one of my favorite teachers and friends, actually. And she walks out at me with a really big smile because I don't normally see her. I was like, hey, Karen. And she just sort of looked at me with this very confused look where everyone else was sort of like, wow, I really wonder what's going on. And I was just so happy to see my friend. I did not read the room. Clearly learned very quickly what happened there, got the scoop, and then reacted appropriately, especially since none of us could take the L home. We all ended up walking, which was unfun. That was a day. So anyway, this was not going to be about that, but that's an example of not reading the room. And a lot of times that's a great setup for comedy. So the person who walks in and doesn't read the room, whether they come in, you know, everybody else is like having a party and they come in really sad, or they, or everybody's really somber and they come in really happy, like everything's cool. Like that's like not reading the room, and that's done intentionally for a comedic effect. Most of the time when it's happening to the person, to the other person who is, you know, the subject of the situation, they don't find it funny. And so that's, yeah, as an audience, that's funny. So a lot of times that's a setup for things. But it's the same idea as we will say in theater lots of times, know your audience. So I probably wouldn't, I don't know why this would ever happen, but because politics is on the brain these days, with the Democratic debates and everything that's going on right now, I probably wouldn't be presenting a highly, you know, a highly political play that is advocating guns, you know, no immigrants coming across the border, and, you know, a very staunch, like, Republican focus play to a room or to a theater company that's, say, in the middle of Chicago in Boys Town. Like, that would probably not be my smartest move, especially if the overall sentiment of it is not just like a character who has that stance, but the whole overall sentiment of the play is these, you know, killing people is good, doing terrible things to people who are seeking asylum is good. That would be a really dumb move. That would not be knowing your audience, would be to present a play like that. So these are things that we'll talk about with reading the room. And this happens with Jackson a lot. Jackson doesn't read the room. So he'll come barreling in when everybody's kind of trying to be quiet. Or if I tell him, you know, Jordan's taking a nap, we need to be quiet. He doesn't read that room. He doesn't see that all of us are being kind of low key and have our voices at a lower level and trying to be quiet. He will come barreling in with his agenda and doesn't notice. So it happens on a fairly regular basis, and it's become a joke with us because we just know that Jackson just can't help himself. Some of it is impulse control. Some of it is probably the ADHD. Some of it is probably the autism. And, you know, medication only goes so far. And I don't think we've found our perfect mixture for him, because he's already starting to have multiple nights in a row where he's up until 10 o'clock at night again. And this is, I mean, I'm talking with the extended release clonidine, with a full clonidine, which is a standard release, with 5 milligrams of melatonin. I mean, the kid just won't sleep. And then there were other nights, like last night, he passed right out. We put him down. He was out within 10 minutes. And I mean out within 10 minutes in that he never got out of the bed. Once he got in the bed, once I tucked him in and said goodnight, he did not leave his bed. Normally, we deal with at least some of him running around, jumping around, doing a little bit. We have to go in there once or twice. We have to tell him to go lay down again. On the nights that it works perfectly, he just lays there, sort of figures it out, and puts himself to sleep. On the other nights, he's up for hours. And we don't know which one it's going to be. I have no idea. That's why I can't schedule anything to do at night. I can't do this podcast at night because I never know what kind of a night it's going to be. And by the time we get both kids to bed, I'm exhausted. So we eat dinner and we basically veg out and watch something on television, and then we're out. So unless I'm doing something that's somewhat mindless or doesn't take a lot of mental energy or creative ability, if I'm in my home, it is not a good idea for me to schedule anything that's going to require a lot of emotional, physical, or mental labor, or even creative labor. And I don't mean labor in a creative labor is sort of a weird, you know, sort of a misnomer, but the idea that I would have to like sit down and like really work on something because if Jackson's awake, it's distracting, it's impossible, the stress level rises. I mean, it's just not worth it. So if I have like a writing due date for something, if I've written something for someone, or I'm doing a writing project for somebody, I literally can't do it unless it's sort of the finishing touches or an editing or something like that. It's not possible for me to really get those creative juices flowing and know for sure that I'm going to have the time if I'm in the house. Now, if I'm out of the house, whole other story. So the reading the room thing comes up a lot. The other day, John and I were at, I think we were waiting to go to the Apple store for my computer, because my computer has been on the fritz on top of us not having air conditioning. My computer has not been working, so I'm recording this actually on John's computer. thank you, John, for allowing me to do that. But I was waiting to go to the store and to get an appointment. And we were sitting, and it was just us and Jordan, and we were just sitting at outside of there. And this very nice young girl, and I want to say young girl, like in her, I want to say her early 20s, clearly was working at, there's like a little like kiosk of candy. And she walked up to our table because we were in the mall. And so we were right outside of her little kiosk area. And she walks up to us and she immediately, I could tell that her social skills were, she was obviously working on them. Like that was just, it was just clear. There was nothing wrong with what she did. But because I'm so attuned to it, because I see it everywhere and in my life, it's just, I pick up on that pretty fast. And so I could tell that she was just a little bit socially awkward. And she started talking to Jordan and it was really sweet. And she was having a conversation with him, but it was like, she hung on a little too long. She hung out a little too long. She kept engaging the conversation a little bit too long when it was clear that we were like ready to wrap it up. You know, it's like you have like polite conversation with people you don't know, and unless there's some amazing connection that you're like, oh, we have to become best friends or something, and you like exchange phone numbers, or there's some mutual reason to do that, you know, there's almost like a societal like, okay, we've done this, we've laughed a little, we've made a few jokes, we're good, blah blah blah, it's time to wrap it up. And she just kind of didn't get that clue and kept going and going and going. And John and I just kept looking at each other like we were in the middle of a conversation and she literally came in and interrupted. So it was a very odd moment where we just kind of didn't know what to do. We were a little like, okay. And so I finally was like, hey, we should probably head out. And he was like, oh, yeah, we should probably go. And it was just this awkward moment where it was like, we really kind of weren't ready to get up and leave, but we also we were having kind of an important conversation, and we don't get a lot of alone time like that. And Jordan was relatively in a good mood, so we could actually talk to each other in the middle of the day. It was just like one of those moments where I was like, I felt bad. We were totally nice, totally polite, but it was one of these where we just sort of had to extricate ourselves from the situation. And I'm really not great at that. So I know I didn't offend her because she was like, okay, we'll have a good day. And she was fine. But it was like that moment of awkwardness all around. So yeah, that was an example of somebody not reading the room as far as the situation goes. Now, I think that there's a chance that that's just doesn't come naturally to her. And that's totally fine. Again, I mean, we did what we needed to do. She did what she was doing and it was fine. I suspect that this will happen with Jackson. It already does. I already see it. He doesn't understand appropriate social norms. So we run into this a lot with his not realizing that he needs to share sometimes. Sometimes he's very good about it, but other times it's like lately, poor Jordan. Jordan's so obsessed with Jackson and just wants to play with him, and Jackson just has no interest. And he'll be quietly sitting on the couch, which is rare for Jackson, and just sitting and maybe playing with a toy, listening to the music on one of those, you know, baby toys or whatever that probably belong to Jordan. And Jordan hears it and comes over and wants to engage or take it or play with it or whatever. And Jackson will hold it up above his head so Jordan can't get to it. And while I don't begrudge him, and I know that that's totally sibling behavior, neurotypical, neurodiverse or whatever, it still is like, the best part about it is it's not just that he holds it away. It's that he stares at me while he does it. Like, are you going to do something about this, Mom? Mom, are you going to fix this problem? Because that's not cool. I've also seen Jackson, like Jordan will come over and like smile at him and try to get him to engage. And Jackson will just get up and walk to the other side of the room. Just so frustrated because he just gets no alone time. And it's kind of true. And I've been starting to feel a little guilty about this. Jackson really doesn't get time alone in this house anymore because it's usually Jackson is gone or, you know, with a babysitter on, you know, with my mom or somebody, you know, where he's gone somewhere and Jordan's home. When Jackson's home, Jordan's 99% of the time Jordan is here. So Jackson really doesn't get any time alone. And Jackson goes to bed before Jordan. So it's got to be really frustrating for him. So his only time to like be without his brother around is in his room when he's going to bed. Okay. And when he's not here, And that's a bummer. You know, that's a real bummer. And I would love to be able to fix that for him. It's just not financially conducive for us to do that right now. Because the truth is that Jordan can make his own fun at home right now. And he does need nap time. And he does need time for us to be home and in this house. And Jackson, he can play out of here. He can be at a park and other places and doesn't need a nap and doesn't need, he really doesn't like to just be sitting at home with nothing to do. He won't make his own fun here. So he just will get bored and frustrated and run around and stim over and over again and frustrate himself as well as us. And it just becomes this, I don't know, just like a merry-go-round of not so awesome. Oh, words, you're my friends. So that's a lot of what we've been handling lately. I was going to say that this particular episode is actually coming out kind of late because of the all of the AC problems and the technical problems I've been having with my computer and all that kind of stuff. And so this is actually coming out. I'm hoping I can launch it today as I'm recording it today. I have to edit and everything. If I can get all that done, then that will be great. And then what will happen is then tomorrow we go and get Jackson's report and follow up with his doctor who did the eval. So I'm going to have a lot of cool stuff to talk about next week. So it worked out okay. I mean, it's fine. It's not ideal. It's not my favorite way of things to go, but you know, it happens. And my goal was just not to miss an episode this week. So fingers crossed, there will definitely be episodes back to back if that happens, because I don't want to miss a week. I've been really liking being on this schedule. It helps me, it keeps me on track, and it's been a good thing. So I wanted to talk a little bit about the week and how things went as far as acting and auditioning and things like that went. I had a callback that I was really excited about. I had done a self-tape for this audition, and then I went in for the callback, and I felt really good about the callback, and they were going to have second callbacks, and I don't know if they ever actually did, because everyone I spoke to, I don't know that anybody went in for the second callback. Maybe I'm wrong, and maybe somebody booked it, and I just don't know, but we can't seem to figure it out, and nobody's sort of like, huh, that was odd. So, yeah, I was really surprised I didn't get called in, because it went really well. Everybody was very supportive, and usually at the callback, you can usually tell, you know, where you're landing. You know, I don't know. I tend to have a sense of it. In the initial audition, you just have no idea. And like, I'm not in, you know, when I'm auditioning and when I'm acting, I'm not casting. When I'm casting, I'm casting. When I'm auditioning and I'm not casting. So I don't try not to get into the heads of the people and what they're looking for, because it probably isn't what I would be looking for, because I'm not the one booking the role. You know, I'm not the one casting the role. So it's, you know, it's not up to me. I'm also not the director. So, but long story short, it was fun, and I had a really good time, and it was worth every second of getting to go do that. And then the following day, I had a really fun day. I was in the city all day, which never happens. My sister-in-law took Jordan. Jackson was gone in therapy and with his babysitter, and I had two auditions in the city, and I went and hung out with my friend and went to a union meeting, which was great. I rarely ever get to go to those. It just all worked out on the same day. And I don't know, we just had a really good time, and I got to hang out with my friend, and we went and had a small bite to eat, and we got a glass of wine, and it was like, my gosh, I felt like a human for a while. It was just really nice. And that was really fun. And then we got home, and it was all good. It was just, I mean, it was a lot of running around. And I will say, I have never made it so that the suburbs are a reason why I don't ever hit an audition. I mean, I will just figure out how much time I need. But man, all the people that talk about like how long it takes them in LA, I get it, because I have to budget hours to make sure, because the traffic is bad from where I live down to the city, and the traffic is bad both ways. And I have to budget the amount of time, even if there was no traffic, it takes me extra time. And I also have to budget in driving, parking. So all of that, I probably spend the same amount of time that those of you in LA are spending to get from audition to audition, you know, get to auditions from, you know, home or whatever. And it's a lot. It's stressful. It is definitely stressful. So, you know, and it takes a lot of mental gymnastics and a lot of schedule gymnastics and a lot of executive functioning. Hey, that's going to probably be a topic coming up in the future. I also wanted to say that it was a good week. It was fun. It was really nice. It just sucked that our AC went out and then we were just hot for days. And it was like the hottest weekend in Chicago. So that on top of it. But yeah, I definitely enjoyed all of the pieces that came with my acting side of things. What else can I tell you about? That's pretty much it. Jackson has been in his new facility, in his new clinic, which he loves. He's been learning how to do some more reading, more specific reading. So we know that Jackson can do sight words, which I didn't know what sight words were, but they're kind of your basic words that you learn by sight, not by sounding them out. So it and the and run and red, and usually colors are sighted because you learn them before you realize that you know them. So he's got a whole list of sight words that he just knows on sight. And they started him on sort of a reading program to see how he does with figuring out words from pictures and then figuring out from, you know, like a word like book, or a word like look. And he recognized the OOK and he said book. And then they said, well, look at the first letter. What's the first letter? And it was L. And then he got it. Look. So these are pieces of the reading that he's working on, and it's going really well. And the reading specialist that they brought in actually said Jackson is 100% on par with his kindergarten into first grade kids, that if you just were testing him on the reading portion, you wouldn't have a clue that he had any neurodiversity at all. He would be testing like neurotypical kid going into first grade, which is really cool to hear. So, you know, again, we know Jackson has a lot of strengths and he's really smart, and that we get told that over and over and over again. His gaps are really in other areas, in more social and emotional areas. Situations where, like, here's a kid who knows every, from octagon to an icosahedron, he can tell you polyhedrons all over the map, but he can't seem to figure out how to stay in his bed and not mess with furniture and not slam doors over and over again and not destroy a room when he's in it alone. So there's like things, you know, it's like, how do we teach that? It's very hard. So yeah, these are the things. And Jordan, I just wanted to give you an update on that. He walked, he did 2 steps unassisted on Thursday, and then he did it again on Friday. And we haven't really had opportunity since then. He hasn't really done it. He keeps holding on, and he lets go. So he's standing up, balancing, which is great. And he's been pulling himself up from the middle of the room, which is amazing. So I know he's so close. He's going to get there. It's going to happen soon. And we're going to have a walker on our hands, and it's going to be a lot. So both boys are going to be on their feet pretty soon, you know, running around and taking over the house. Not that they don't already do that. It was really funny today. I was doing an at-home workout, which I rarely do anymore because it's not easy with the boys. But John was home, so I was like, okay, you know, just corral them. I don't care if everybody's in the room while I'm working out. I just need them corralled. Every single time that I would go to do like a reverse lunge, Jordan was right behind me. I got down to do abs, and he was crawling on my belly. I was like, I mean, this is just par for the course. Jackson, however, kind of did a little bit of the workout with me. He was doing squats with me. He was doing reverse lunges with me. It was kind of adorable. So I wish I would have gotten video, but I was trying to get the workout in, and it was just not good timing. So maybe the next time I do it at home, and if Jackson does it with me, I'll try to put some video up. Which brings me to how you can find me. So I love having these discussions with all of you. I love the texts and the emails that you send me and the private messages. I want to try to start bringing this into our regular conversations. So when I put a post up about the podcast, if you've listened to it, you can always go back to it. I mean, I probably could just pin the post. Maybe I should start doing that. I could pin the post. And then if you have something to say about this particular episode, by all means, post underneath it, ask your questions, anything that you have questions about or anything that you want to expand upon, that's great. I also really love it if you could rate and review me on iTunes. It really helps other people find the podcast. I know that this will help more people, so I would love it if more people could find the podcast and more people could get engaged in the conversation. So to find me on the socials media, on Instagram and on Facebook, you can find me at Ali, A-L-I, Real to Real. That's R-E-A-L-T-O-R-E-E-L. little pun there, right? And on Twitter, you can find me at Allie_Goodman. And that's pretty much it. Oh, if you want to find me on Podbean, you can find me at actinguppodcast.com. And on iTunes, clearly. You can really stream this podcast from anywhere. So you can find it if you have somebody who doesn't do iTunes and wants to find it on Spotify or Google Play, or again, you can just send them to the Podbean site too. That, all of those things are totally awesome. And when you share it, it really helps, because the more people that hear it, the more they can share it with the people that also started this whole journey not knowing how to navigate it. I also wanted to say I have some exciting stuff coming up. I have a couple of people that are going to be guests on the podcast. If you are someone who thinks you would make a great guest for this podcast, or you know someone who would make a great guest for my podcast, message me, let me know, because I'm starting to figure out the technology of doing across different states versus in person. In person, I've kind of got down, but, you know, across the world or across the country, I have a whole other setup I have to do. So I'm getting all that technology worked out, and I would love it if we could figure out more guests, because I think that that brings in such a neat experience to your listening and to our learning, which is really what this is about, right? So thanks again for listening, friends. I hope you have a wonderful day. Thanks for putting up with the lateness of this post, and have a good one. Just remember to take it one day at a time, 1 minute at a time, sometimes 1 second at a time, and just hang in there. We're all in this together. And happy Pride. Woohoo! 2019.